Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Gator, got a bunch of Michigan topics the fans want to hear about as the Wolverines get set for their game tomorrow against Minnesota. And we do appreciate all the comments we've gotten. We did it with Michigan State a little bit earlier and got your take on a kind of a position-by-position breakdown and then ran down some keys that people want to discuss for the coming season. So let's get right to it. As first we have, please talk about Michigan's receiving core. That's from an unnamed texter. Well, the owner's manual reads that they should be lightning fast. The owner's manual reads that they should be able to really create space and be dangerous with the football in their hands. Okay. I mean, great. Speed and space. We've heard all about it. The question is, can they run the right routes? Can they not drop the football? They had some drop problems last year. And Gator, I mean, there's a little bit of, hey, that's what it felt like with Rich Rod. When Rich Rod was around and I'd interview receivers, and I'm 6'3", almost 6'4", and some of these guys were tiny. And they've gone through some NFL-style receivers, and this is a smaller group.
Yeah, and it's a question I brought up earlier. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that they don't have really anybody that's going to see playing time that's substantially above 6 feet tall. You like to have a big receiver to go up and get those 50-50 passes, but maybe that's where you lean on the tight ends to go ahead and do that. But what you're not going to see is the obvious mismatch against corners because, you know, corners – You normally see great size in cornerbacks. Well, Michigan does have a couple of guys that have some good size. So does Michigan State. But typically, you're not going to see both corners with good size. And when you bring in extra defensive backs into a game, nickel or dime packages, you don't see a whole lot of guys that are standing above 6 feet. So, you know, where are those mismatches going to take place? Is it only going to take place because they have projected elite speed?
Yeah,
I don't know. We've heard it before. We'll see it if it's actually how fast they actually are when the pads are on.
There's basically Cornelius Johnson and a bunch of little guys. So we'll see how it goes. If they're as good as advertised and fast as advertised, it could work out. But you know, they've got to get open and they got to secure the football.
Well, you got to catch the football and hang on to the ball. Yeah.
So next question here or next topic? Could you talk about the undersized defensive line that's been an issue for the last few years? Only thing that worries me about the defensive line is depth. I don't worry about their size. I think they're plenty big. I mean, probably the only guy that's undersized is Carlo Kemp, but he's in the Mo Hurst mold. He's a defensive tackle that's going to beat you with quickness, not brute strength. They have to look. One of the better D-line coaches that I've been around and talked to was Brady Hoke. He was a really good D-line coach. And I remember him saying, we got to have eight guys. The way the game is played, you got to be able to rotate through two guys at every position. So we have yet to see them have the eight guys. I think they got five. But Luigi Villian, is he going to be something? Is Welshoff going to be something? But I don't worry about their size. I worry about their depth at that position. Can you guys talk about Michigan's run game and if Milton will be a part of that? I think he will be. He's not an elite runner, but he's good enough. They should be able to do some zone read stuff with him, I would think.
Well, is he, I mean, obviously he's not Denard Robinson, but is he, how far off is he from Shea Patterson? I mean, because probably far off.
Right? I the funny thing is, I remember watching Terrell Pryor run, and I thought he was slow as he was pulling away from people.
Exactly right, because he had these long strides.
Exactly. Yeah. When I watch Milton run, it reminds me of Pryor, except what I don't know is, sure, he pulled away from people in high school. Can he pull away from people at the collegiate level? Is he that kind of fast? I'm not convinced, but I think he's fast enough and he's big enough. You know, with McCaffrey got hurt running the ball twice at Michigan. And part of it's getting used to the collegiate speed because, you know, everybody you're playing against is faster. He had great straight line speed, but did he have enough wiggle? And then you had to have, you talked about this all the time your dude Kyler Murray, the ability to get out of bounds and get to the ground when necessary. Better be good at it.
Not take a damaging hit. It was one of the most amazing things that I found with Antoine Rendell, watching him play quarterback at Indiana for a couple of years there. He never took a solid hit. He was this water bug who just always seemed to avoid the major contact, and you got to do that. Milton wasn't a guy who ran first in college, though, or in high school.
No.
He was, I mean, he mobile, but he's not a running quarterback like people may expect.
With Charbonnet and Haskins as the 1-2 punch, do you see Chris Evans getting some early touches with his experience and playmaking ability? That's from Andrew in Lake Orion. I think you're going to see plenty of Charbonnet, Haskins, and Evans. I mean, if we're going to get into the game plan tomorrow, if Michigan can establish the run and can run it with a four guys in the stable in the backfield, I wouldn't be surprised if they just keep running it and running it and running it. Minnesota lost 8 starters off their Outback Bowl defense. If the offensive line's creating seams, I think all those guys are going to get touches and chances to carry the ball. But it depends a lot on how the game goes. Are they running it effectively? And is Minnesota's offense putting up a lot of points? Are they getting a shootout? Because Minnesota's offense, pretty damn good. And they have the returning head coach, the returning quarterback. They get a new offensive coordinator, but if that offensive coordinator's smart, he won't change too much with most of the offense back, right?
Well, right. And I'd be curious to see. I'm curious about Chris Evans because a couple of years ago, he's Michigan's best running back.
Yeah. I felt like that's a guy that looked so good as a freshman and then didn't take progressive steps getting better. Then he got himself in some trouble. But, you know, you expect freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior, junior to senior, they just get better and better. And didn't quite happen that way with Evans, but he's got one more shot. Potential breakout freshman, either offense or defense. Well, if I had to pick one, I guess I would go with Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Hawaii, because I feel like there's more of a chance for a receiver. Like the running back, the other one's Blake Corum that I would have picked, but I think with 3 kind of established backs, Corum would really have to be special to get the opportunity. So I'll go with Roman Wilson because I feel like they're still feeling out the go-to guys at the receiver spot.
How have they dealt with the language barrier with him?
They just point, Gator, and then tell him where to go. Yeah. And defensively, William Mohan, although I guess, I don't know if his real name's Apache or they're just calling him Apache, but Apache Mohan, who's playing safety, heard very good things about him as a true freshman. Like to hear more about our D-line and O-line and Milton's accuracy. Thanks, guys. That's from Trey B. in Utica. Feel good about the D-line, Trey. Feel good about it. O-line, it's got sneaky, low-key experience with Stuber and Ryan Hayes, who started and played in some big games. Stuber against Michigan State, Ryan Hayes against Notre Dame. But, you know, they lost 4 guys that started at the end of the year. Plug these 2 in and hope they do that typical class-to-class progression. Mayfield is a big get-back. And then we'll see how Vistardis and Filiaga. I've watched Filiaga on the sidelines, Gator, for years and just thought, this guy's a mammoth individual. 6'6", 345. He's playing guard.
Well, it's only because that's a mammoth individual.
One more here from Dan at work. I would like to hear a breakdown of tomorrow's game against Minnesota, matchups, advantages, etc. Well, it's strength on strength and weakness on weakness. Minnesota brings 5 offensive linemen back from a team that was pretty good offensively last year. Veteran quarterback, first-round receiver. They lost 2 of their 3 running backs. But, they kind of used 3 guys last year. Michigan's defensive front, linebacking core, and safeties, I think, are all potentially pretty good. The corner is the question. I mean, I think Michigan's going to go at those corners. I think Rashad Bateman gets 12 to 15 targets tomorrow. As far as when Michigan has the ball, again, I said it before, if the offensive line blocks, Michigan might run it 50 plus times. But, you know, that's something to watch for is, can is Michigan's offensive line win in the battle line of scrimmage? Minnesota has a lot to replace defensively. There's also these COVID rumors out of Minneapolis. I don't know if the rumors are real, but
why don't you spill it? What do you got?
I got nothing, Gator. Valeni tried to make it sound like I knew what was going on, but I mean, you never know if there is.
I got to keep that to yourself.
Do you want me to make something up?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to do that because people take it seriously.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.